The year is 1973. At the subcontinental transitions between the hot anger of summer and the refreshing newness of the monsoon, a first-year theology student from Goa is assigned room number 65 at the Papal Seminary in Pune. In the austere simplicity of his room, one rather unexpected object draws his attention. It is a pearl-white statuette standing on a bookshelf. An elegant lady wearing an Indian crown stands on a lotus draped in a sari. She appeared at first glance to be a Hindu goddess, but there were some features that one would not find on a Hindu idol. The halo behind her head had a dove in the center, rather than a fierce Kirtimukha, and just under her feet was a crescent moon. In a spontaneous act of faith, this young man, Joachim Leola Pereira, realized that this stunning image was the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, with the rising sun behind her crowned head and the crescent moon at her feet. Welcome to the Altar of Time, a history of India's Christian art. I'm Kevin Fernandez. The early 20th century ivory statuette of the Virgin Mary, discovered by Joachim Leola Pereira, now known as Father Leola, is one among the most iconic objects of the Museum of Christian Art's collection. Now called Nirmala Mata, the statuette exemplifies the deep cosmopolitanism of the art of Portuguese Goa, something we've seen repeatedly through the Altar of Time. As one of the subcontinent's major trading ports through history, and as the largest city in the Portuguese colonial empire, Goa has been at the center of global flows of culture and aesthetic ideas for centuries. And we've observed how South India and the Deccan were among Goa's most significant aesthetic influences through the early modern period. Nirmala Mata is most striking because she does not clearly resemble any modern Indian goddess. Instead, she closely resembles contemporary 20th century paintings of Hindu goddesses by the painter Raja Ravi Varma. Her sari, which doesn't seem to have a clear regional style of drapery, resembles the pan-Indian iconography that Raja Ravi Varma developed through his art. The other ivories we'll see in the Altar of Time have modest, billowing robes that conceal the shape of the body. But Nirmala Mata is different. Her sari accentuates her body while simultaneously concealing it from view, reflecting Ravi Varma's interpretation of classical Indian dress and his conservative moral outlook. Ravi Varma's goddesses stare confidently at their viewers, representing the power of Hindu deities. But Nirmala Mata's eyes and head look downward with a demure expression, her hands pressed together in prayer, recalling the presence of God and reminding her viewers that the Virgin can only intercede with God on their behalf. But there are other ways in which Nirmala Mata differs from the typical Ravi Varma painting. Between her feet and the lotus is a crescent moon. The moon upon which she stands is a Christian symbol that entered the iconography of the Virgin Mary in medieval Europe. According to scholar Deborah S. Hutton, this is tied to an individual from the New Testament Book of Revelations, known as the woman clothed with the sun, who has a crescent moon at her feet and wears a crown with 12 stars. The Book of Revelations is also known as the Revelations to John and consists of a series of visions, signs, and portents for end times. The woman clothed in the sun is one of the symbols of the apocalypse. She is about to deliver a child and is threatened by the great red dragon, a symbol of evil. However, through God's intercession, the child is brought to heaven and rescued. The woman is thus a symbol of the triumph of good over evil and of the church over Satan. And medieval European theologians included some of her attributes in the veneration of the Virgin Mary. The title of Nirmala Mata is also interesting because it means Immaculate Mother. What does it mean to say that the Virgin Mary was immaculate? This comes from a much more ancient Christian idea that Eve, the first woman, sinned by defying God and eating an apple offered by Satan in the Garden of Eden. As a result of this, all subsequent generations of humans were cursed to mortal lives and were born with some degree of original sin. All humans, that is, except the Virgin Mary. According to the Bible, Mary was born without sin and conceived Jesus by the divine power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, through his later sacrifice on the cross, made a new covenant with humanity, wherein they could cleanse themselves of sin and attain eternal life in heaven. The idea that Mary was immaculate from birth is thus fundamental to Christian theology and was enshrined by the Council of Trent in Germany in the 16th century. Most ivories produced in Goa look nothing like Nirmala Mata though. As we mentioned earlier, they tend to have bulky, billowing clothing. Their iconography is very similar to European models, and many of them were probably copies of European originals. They did have some unique Goan features, but we'll discuss them in a later episode. This emphasis on making ivories that resemble European ones is partially a result of church policy attempting to crack down on what they saw as deviations from Christianity. It was also tied to trade, because Indian-produced ivories of Christian saints were highly sought after in Europe. To figure out why Nirmala Mata looks like a Raja Ravi Varma painting, we need to remember that Portuguese India was still very much located in the British-controlled Indian subcontinent, whose aesthetics, morals, culture, and economy were irrevocably changed by the colonial experience. By the late 1800s and early 1900s, many Indian elites, especially those of royal backgrounds, attempted to push back against British stereotypes of Indians as being an inferior civilization, self-consciously developing new artistic and political ideas which were often based on modern Western models. Ravi Varma adapted aesthetic ideas such as anatomical accuracy and romanticism. At a time when Indian nationalism was crystallizing, Varma's paintings depicting classical mythological scenes and stories from Sanskrit drama began to appear in printed form and exploded in popularity thanks to new forms of communication and print made possible by colonialism. His art became emblematic of Hindu nationalist imaginations, and his influence could be seen on everything from matchboxes to advertisements. The final piece of the Nirmala Mata puzzle lies in the Vatican, which, as we've seen in previous episodes, always had a significant influence in Portuguese Goa, either directly or indirectly. After the devastation of the First World War, the Vatican gradually came to the realization that Asian Christian art was well worth encouraging, and that the gospel should mend itself with the culture of the country where it was seeking to spread. At the time, as we saw above, Indian visual culture was adapting Western ideas to Indian deities and legends. It could be that whoever commissioned Nirmala Mata in Goa organically applied this visual emerging culture into depicting a Christian figure who was now as Indian as any other. Or perhaps the commissioner was choosing to illustrate the New Testament's woman clothed in the sun verse in the visual vocabulary of Raja Ravi Varma, perhaps indicating that the future of the church and Christianity was in indigenizing and being more in touch with the cultural roots of its flock. Alternatively, it is possible that the statuette was produced in other parts of the subcontinent, where artists had adopted ideas from Ravi Varma, such as Pune and Mysore. At this point, let us return to young Joachim Leola Pereira, whose inquiries with the rector of the seminary and the previous occupant of the room led to no answers as to who the owner of this visually stunning image was. The rector informed Pereira that as long as no one claimed it, he could consider the statuette his own. And so the image traveled with Father Pereira through his journey as a priest, always adorning his table. He never came across another image that was similar in appearance, though he saw statuettes with a similar aesthetic sensibility, possibly of similar provenance, in the collection of Castillo de Javier Museum, Spain. Eventually, as if through divine intervention, just as the image appeared on his bookshelf in room number 65 so many years ago, he was inspired to share what he calls its exotic beauty with the public. He made this generous contribution to the collection of the Museum of Christian Art, Goa. Instead of a grand Portuguese title, such as Nossa Senhora de Imaculada Conceição, or the technically verbose Niskudunk Gurb Sombolin Saibini in Konkani, he chose to call the image Nirmala Mata, or the Pure Mother, a title understandable to speakers of Hindi, Konkani, and Marathi, and in many ways, just like his donation of this art object to the museum, made faith and art more accessible and democratic. Aside from its mysterious and moving personal history, the statuette of Nirmala Mata thus represents a unique moment in the history of South Asian art more broadly. Evidently, the ideas we have today of what deities should look like were somewhat more porous in the early 20th century. With her demurely cast down eyes, Nirmala Mata stands as a silent testimony to how ideas from Europe flowed to India and back. Her dove, the most ancient of Christian symbols, her crescent moon, which solidified into her iconography 1,500 years later, her sari and composition, inspired by an Indian artist who was in turn inspired by 20th century European aesthetics. And yet, she looks just like we would imagine a Hindu goddess today. In many layers of Indian Christian art, we only hear the same theme again and again. Art and devotion intermingle and flow across the world, tying together our histories into a magnificent shared tapestry.